Well, good morning, Ascend Church. Thank you so much for being here. We welcome you to stand and worship with us. Those at home, we welcome you to worship as well and give God some praise. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Ever stand against your might, always been with us. Every battle you've already won, you've already won. There is no weapon that has ever left a mark on you. There is no army with the power to conquer truth. Always been with us. Every battle you've already won, you've already won. Show me one thing he can't. Show me a mountain he can't. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. That's advancing at the speed of light, and in his kingdom every dead thing is bound to rise. God our Redeemer, he is faithful to revive. Oh, he will revive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Show me one thing he can do. Show
for me right
here.
Put your hands together, come on.
All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance loud in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment. Show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain he can move. Yes, he is. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me what he can part. He's the God of the breakthrough. Anything is possible. Yes, it's possible. It's possible.
Hallelujah.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, man on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need you got is honey in the rock.
Christ. Come on, church. Somebody get excited about God this morning. We traveled here in all this weather. You better shout. Come on.
exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Our God is able to do way more we can ask or think, according to the power that's working within us. He's more than able. He has all power. Come on, let's sing about that power this morning. Here we go.
When did I start to forget all the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than able.
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? It's easy for you,
easy for you.
Now I see all that I have, and though I've got my confidence back, I put my trust in the one who still does miracles. You do miracles. Oh,
you are more than able.
Yes, you are.
All of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do, what the Lord can do. And it's gonna happen, just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. Come on, who believes that in this room? Come on, say. And can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do,
what the Lord can do.
And it's gonna happen, just let the way make it through.
He's gonna move.
Oh, somebody testify.
Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do, what the Lord can do. And it's gonna happen, just let the way make it through. He's gonna move, he's gonna move.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Come on, somebody declare anything.
Anything is possible.
Oh, to him who believes.
Anything is possible.
Oh, through Christ.
Anything is possible.
Hey.
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Oh.
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Come on.
God is more than able.
You are,
the Lord can do.
And I've come a long way, and I've seen how you work. And there's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve, 'cause I know who I am, and I can't stay where I'm at. We've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. But you're not done with me yet. You're not done with me. Yeah. There's so much more to this story.
Yeah.
You're not done with me.
Yeah.
You're not done with me. Yeah.
You're
not done with me. Yeah.
After this, there will be glory.
There's so much more to this story. You got to remind yourself when you're facing things that seem impossible. God is more than able. You will succeed. You are victorious. Come on, church.
God is more than able.
Yes, you are. You are. You are. You are, Lord.
God is more than able.
The Lord can do.
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in this place. We lift up our worship before you. Come on, church. I want you to lift your voice and your hand. I want you to lift your hearts before the King. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. Be enthroned on our praises. Thank you, Father God. You are welcome here. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit.
You come
to join the song. So long before our lives, to raise our voice alone. Heaven and earth alive, and we've seen your faithful hand and your mercy without end. A king who bled and died, the God who sacrificed. So be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. All through this life we lead, and on through eternity, our endless praise will cry, Jesus, be glorified. And all through this life we lead unto eternity, and our endless praise will cry, and Jesus, be glorified. Jesus, be glorified.
To be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all.
To you,
unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven singing, worthy.
Oh, you're worthy.
so be enthroned upon the praises of thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. To you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven singing, worthy, Lord of all. So be enthroned upon the praises of thousand generations. You are worthy.
Yes, you are.
Lord of all. Oh, to you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven singing, worthy, Lord of all.
Right now, everybody in this room, I want you to lift your hands before God. And I want you to sing out praise. I want you to sing out worship.
Yes.
Sing your own song. Oh,
let's lift our hands to the Lord. And let's lift our voice together. Let's sing it out. What is it? Highest praises. Lord, we give you the highest praise. We worship you today. Come on, let's worship him, church.
Highest praises, Lord.
Revelation, continually worshiping the 24 elders. When they begin to think of the goodness of God, they fall down at his feet and just declare he is worthy of all praise. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for all you've done, for who you are. For eternity, we'll praise you. We'll lift the highest praise to you alone. You alone are worthy of all praise and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to worship God together. Amen. Praise God. That'll set the atmosphere for you, right? Just leave what's behind. That's a real key, you know. That's a real key, is to letting yesterday be gone and moving forward. And so today's the beginning of a new week. We're ready for it. Amen. Praise God. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them. You may be seated. God, how wonderful to see you this morning. So glad to see your lovely faces in church worshiping with us today. And welcome to those that are watching online. I know we have members of our church watching online. I know there were some tornado warnings from south to north. And actually on the way to church here today on the US-1, there were like three trees, totally massive trees uprooted, which was strange. We believe for protection at all times. Amen. But if you're watching online today, welcome. We're glad you've joined us. You're watching on Facebook, go ahead. Let us know where you're watching from. Share the broadcast. And we pray that you'd be blessed and receive the word today. Forget about all distractions. Turn your phone, on silent, other than watching this. But we're glad that you've joined us. Let us know if you have a prayer request. Praise God. I like that there are ways for us to have church outside of the building at the same time. It's an extension, right? And it's an extension of our service. So we're thankful that you've joined us this morning. But I still wouldn't choose to be anywhere but in-person church. Amen. I think you feel the same way, right? And I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service at Ascend Church, we love having visitors, don't we? We do. And so if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we could just hand you a visitor pack? God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. Awesome. We're glad that you're here. If you just make sure you get that visitor pack, we ask you to take a moment. There's a few things in there for you, but if you just fill out the card that says guest, and at the end of the service we pass an offering bucket by, just drop that card in. Pastor Steve would love to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. If you can, hang around for a few minutes afterwards. Greet us. We would appreciate it. That would be so awesome. I think you'll find our church members friendly, and you'll be glad to be here. So thank you for joining us this morning. Reminder that we're going to pass that clipboard by. Just let us know that you're here. It's a help to us. Change of phone number, email, let us know. And as I said, various ways that you can watch. So if you're ever out of town or if you ever want to share the broadcast, not only is there Facebook, which it's live, but then it's also available after the fact. So you can always go back and say, I know somebody who just needs to hear that message. Or you can go on Ascend Church on YouTube, which is my favorite, and then go ahead and subscribe to that, share the broadcast. It's a great blessing, as well as on our mobile app. So thanks for doing that. Join up with that. I see my dear husband coming. He's got a great message coming on. I'm looking forward to that. I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church, which never change. The first one is that you would know God. Second one is that you would find freedom. It's people finding freedom. I mean, the stories that we hear, we'll have to have a testimony service at some time, just of the freedom, because it's so encouraging. Discover your purpose and make a difference in this world. Amen. Amen. So thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you didn't let the weather stop you from coming to church today. And I know there were some people maybe that couldn't, but if the weather doesn't stop you from going to work, it should definitely not stop you from going to church. You better not tell me I couldn't come to church the weather, but you're up and go to work no matter what the weather is. Because that tells me is that your job is more important than God in your life. Hello? Tell your neighbor, well done for getting here today. Well done that you didn't let anything stop you from being here today. Amen. Now we had, it looks like, I had a power outage yesterday. Something. So I don't know what happened, but one of our pieces of equipment got fried. And it's the controller that controls all the lights up here on stage. So all the spotlights and all the lights that work up here, all aren't working today because of this one piece of equipment. Fortunately, I got here early today, earlier than normal, and we were able to set up these lights so that you all can still see us online. I hope it looks okay. Does it look okay today? Maybe not as good as usual, but praise God, we'll get by. Amen. I want to just mention to you real quickly that they've been doing a big clean out in the building, and we have out in the lobby, we've got a whole lot of books and CDs that we want to let you know or we're making available. I grabbed this one. I don't know. A lot of people don't listen to DVDs or watch DVDs. This is a compact disc. This is CDs. But we have DVDs. We have CDs. This one is a series that I did quite a while back, but it's called How to Prosper in a Bad Economy. And part one is, it's God's will for you to prosper. Part two, secrets to supernatural supply. Part three, secrets to supernatural supply. Part two, number four, reasons for lack. And then number five, biblical facts you need to know in a recession. Number six, biblical ways to generate wealth. Number seven, was Jesus poor? And number eight, the greatest secret to God's provision. Now, I'm asking you, if you want these, you can take them for any donation. If you'd like to make any donation. And there's also a lot of great books out there. Here's one by Bill Weiss. It's called Recession Proof Living. If you haven't read this book, you really need to read it. So we're asking you, we've got all these things that have been stocked in, stored away in boxes. So why store them in boxes? So Nadine came in and some other ladies helped. We've got a whole lot of stuff out there in the lobby. Go take a look. If you'd like to take anything, all we ask for is any donation you can make. Then this week, we are starting up four connect groups. We're starting connect groups this week. And we're excited about it. And I want to ask Tom and Anna and Jerry and Pam, I want to pray over you. And Michelle, I know you're busy, but just run up here real fast. I'm going to pray over you and anoint you this week. I know that Shanta and William couldn't be here. I'm sorry, because I wanted to pray over you too. But come stand up here on stage, and we're going to pray over you as you start your groups up this week. If you haven't signed up for Connect Group, I really encourage you to sign up. Use one of the Connect cards. It's in the seat back the seat pocket in the chair in front of you. There's a card that says Connect. Fill that out, because this week we start Connect Groups. Now, Tom and Anna, move a little bit this way. There we go. We can fit. Tom and Anna, their group is in Stuart, actually in Jensen Beach, right? Stuart. Source Point, excuse me. They're up in Stuart. So we've got people from Port St. Lucie and Stuart and even Hope Sound are going to be going to your group. Then Jerry and Pam. And your group's going to be on Tuesday night. Tuesday night at 7, right? And then Jerry and Pam, their group is also on Tuesday night. And your group is in Jupiter Farms. In Jupiter Farms. And then Michelle, she's having a group right here at the church. And whatnot. That's also on a Tuesday night. And that's really more for single and young adults like her. And so 19 to about 30, so I'm not allowed to come to their group. I'm joking. But that's Michelle. And then Shanta and William, their group is on Wednesday night, and that is in West Palm Beach. So we have a group in Stuart, we have a group in the farms, we have a group here at the church, and we have a group in West Palm Beach. And I want to anoint these leaders as they step up to serve God's people and to minister this week in groups. You're going to have a wonderful time. There are things that happen in a connect group that don't happen at church, because it's more of a participation. It's a smaller group, so everyone gets a chance to participate and ask questions and share what God's doing in their life. We pray for one another, and you really make friends that become lifelong friends. So I want to anoint you. Just lift your hands. Father, I thank you for these leaders. I thank you for these servant leaders who have stepped up to serve your people, Father, to be a blessing, to open their homes, to welcome people in. And Father, I just thank you that as they ministered this week, I thank you for your presence and your anointing in all of these groups. I thank you, Lord, that people's lives are going to be transformed, that people are going to find freedom, Lord. These really are freedom groups. And I just thank you and praise you, Father, for everything you're going to do in all of these groups. I thank you for anointing these leaders in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your anointing right now upon Michelle. In Jesus' name, thank you for divine enablement, Lord. A divine enablement right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I release your anointing upon them. I thank you for the giftings of God, the giftings of God that are stirred up on the inside of them. I thank you, Father, for their faithfulness, Lord. I thank you right now, Lord, that you bless them. You bless them for their service, Father, for their faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you so much for serving this week. I know we're going to have a wonderful time in all of our connect groups. Give them a big round of applause. We appreciate them. And once again, we had a lot of people sign up, and you should have received text from your leader. And if you want to go say hi to them afterwards, go say hi to them. And the groups are starting this week. Pastor Jill and I are going to be visiting all of the groups, and we look forward to that. Amen. Well, are you ready for God's word today? I am ready. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter to me what the weather, doesn't matter to me. I don't care what's going on. Nothing shakes me from teaching what God's put in my heart to teach you. The lights go out, this goes out, that goes out. The word of God, we preach in season, out of season, when it's good times, when it's bad times. Just continue to preach God's word. Can you say amen? Father, we thank you today that you are faithful. Lord, you are faithful even when we are faithless. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that you are our provider. I thank you, Lord, that we have a covenant with you. And that is a covenant of blessing. It is a covenant of prosperity. And Father, as I preach your word today, I thank you that you anoint me, because I'm trusting and depending on you, Lord, to help me. I thank you that you bring revelation to every person, Father. Revelation that is transforms their life. I thank you, Father, it is your will that we would prosper. You delight in our prosperity. And I thank you, Father, for prospering your people. I thank you for financial miracles. I thank you for financial breakthroughs. I thank you, Father, that you pour out your goodness, Father, that blessings are overtaking us, and we give you all the thanks and the praise for everything that is said and done today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue this week with a series I started last week, and it's called The Covenant of Prosperity. And the reason I'm teaching about this is because God wants you to prosper. And I want you to prosper. And I really believe that if you will receive the word of God, and if you will act upon it, put it into practice, you will see God prosper you in your life supernaturally. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter where you're at, whether you don't have much money or whether you're a millionaire, God wants to prosper you. Wherever you're at, he wants to increase you. He's a God of increase. Can you say amen? And so this is part number two. And today I want to speak about a covenant is two-sided. A covenant is two-sided. Now, in Isaiah 54, verse 10, this is our text scripture. It says, "My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. God says, my covenant of blessing. You see, the Bible contains two covenants. The old covenant is contained in the Old Testament, and that was the covenant God made with Abraham, and it was sealed, ratified with an animal's blood. And then the new covenant that Jesus made is contained in the New Testament, and that was sealed with his own blood, with the blood of God. Now, both of these covenants, both the old covenant and the new covenant, are both covenants of blessing and covenants of prosperity. The reason God made the covenant is he wanted to bless us. It's always been his intention from the very beginning when he created Adam in Genesis. The Bible says God blessed him and he said, prosper, be fruitful. So now, last week I explained to you what a covenant, what a blood covenant is. It's not something that people really understand today or practice today, but in the Bible days they did, and they understood covenant. They understood what it meant. A blood covenant is when two people join their lives together. All that they own and all that they can do belongs to the other person, and vice versa. The Hebrew word for the word covenant is the word berith, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H. That's the Hebrew word for covenant. And it literally means to cut, or to cut where blood flows. So whenever you read in the Bible, Jonathan and David made a covenant, the word covenant is to cut. As what they would do is they'd make an incision in their hand, and then as the blood flowed, they would shake hands, and as their blood mingled together, it signified that their two lives were becoming one. It's what is called blood brothers. Now, a blood covenant is the most sacred, the closest, most enduring of all relationships or contracts. It absolutely cannot be broken under any circumstance. You promise to give your life to the person, your love to the person, your possessions to the person, your protection to that person until death. In fact, all of your assets, all of your liabilities are shared, and the covenant, the covenant would pass on to your children. If I had a blood covenant with you, if you and I were in blood covenant, then all that I am would belong to you. And all that you own would belong to me. And all that I can do would be available to you. And vice versa. If someone came to attack you, I would have to come and protect you and fight to protect you because of the covenant. If you had a debt that you couldn't pay and I can pay it, I would be obligated to pay your debt because of the covenant. Are you with me? God made a covenant like that with Abraham because God wanted to bless Abraham. This was a covenant that brought prosperity and brought blessing. And we saw last week how God prospered the people under the old covenant. And if you weren't here last week, I would really encourage you to go back and watch last week's sermon, because I can't repeat it all. But you really need to go back, because that's like the foundation. And I went through the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, Solomon, David, how God prospered and blessed all of them because of this covenant. God made Abraham wealthy. God made his son Isaac. He became exceedingly prosperous. Even during a time of famine, God prospered Jacob. That was Abraham's grandson. Even though he was unfairly treated by Laban, God prospered him. And he became very wealthy. We saw how God prospered Job. He was the richest man in the East. Even though he went through a great time of loss, God restored his fortunes. And he came out of it with twice as much as he had before. Are you with me? God prospered David so much that David was able to give an offering to help build God's temple of 112 tons of gold, which is equivalent of $7 billion today. David gave that from his own personal treasury. He came from being a shepherd boy to give in a $7 billion offering to build God's temple. That's prosperity, is it not? David said that everything he had came from God. He said, I'm only giving to God what he's already given to me. David recognized that God was the source of his blessing and his prosperity. Can you say amen? God prospered David's son Solomon. He became the richest man who ever lived. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. He wrote Proverbs 10:22 that says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Now, all of these Old Testament people prospered because of this covenant that God had made with them, where God obligated himself to bless them, to protect them, to promote them. Prosperity was a promise that God fulfilled because of the covenant that he made with them. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. It says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. And the New Living Translation says, in order to fulfill the covenant. So it says, God, remember, the Lord gives you the power to get wealth. Why? To fulfill his covenant that he made. Are you still with me? And the good news is, we have been given a far better covenant with far better promises than what they had in the old covenant. Hebrews 8 verse 6 says, now Jesus our high priest has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant based on better promises. Say, I've got a better covenant with better promises. Now, if our new covenant, that is a better covenant, that is sealed with the blood of Jesus himself, if our covenant does not include prosperity, then it is not a better covenant. Thank you for your enthusiasm and your great support. If our covenant does not include prosperity, then how can it be a better covenant? But it does include prosperity. God wants to prosper you. Last week we looked at a number of scriptures that tell us this. Like 3 John verse 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God, say, God wants me to prosper. In Psalm 35, 27, it says, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. Say, God delights in my prosperity. It makes God happy when we prosper. He delights in it. In Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, Christ paid the price to free us from the curse. Christ paid the price so that the blessing promised to Abraham would come to all the people of the world. When Jesus went to the cross for you and me, he did not only pay the price to free us from sin. Thank God for that. That's the biggest one. He did not only pay the price to free us from eternal death, but he freed us from the curse that sin brought. And that curse includes sickness, it includes poverty, it includes defeat. Jesus took the curse of poverty so that we could enjoy the blessings of Abraham, and God prospered Abraham and made him rich, and God wants to do the same for you. You've got to see that when Jesus went to that cross, all Christians know that he took our sin. He paid the price. Thank God for that. But a lot of Christians don't realize that at the same time, not only did he pay the price for our sins, but he took the curse. He paid the price. He took our sicknesses. He paid the price for us to be healthy. He paid the price for us to prosper. He took our lack. He became poor, the Bible says, so we can be rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Am I reading the Bible to you? Am I making this up? No. So say this, Jesus wants to make me rich. Isn't that what we just read in the Bible? Why did Jesus become poor for us? We saw that when when did Jesus become poor? Because last week we saw that when Jesus lived on the earth, he wasn't poor. He had a staff of 12 disciples that he took care of them. He had a treasurer named Judas who was stealing from the treasury for 3.5 years, and nobody noticed it except Jesus. So when Jesus wasn't poor when he lived on the earth. A poor person can't take care of 12 staff. A poor person can't feed 5,000 people lunch. A poor person can't pay taxes. A poor person doesn't have a treasurer. So when did Jesus become poor? The same time that he took our sickness, when he went to the cross and he hung there naked on the cross. That's when he became poor in our place. That's when he took our sin. That's when he took our sickness. That's when he took our poverty. And Jesus gave us a new covenant. And this new covenant has amazing promises. This new covenant has amazing blessings. Amen. All that God is available to us. All that God can do, all that God has is available. That's what the Bible says, my God will supply your need according to his riches, not according to your, not according to your job, your economy, according to his riches. We have access to his riches. Can you say amen? Because of this covenant, Jesus gave his life for us to pay a debt that we could never pay. Amen. The moment that Jesus entered that covenant with the disciples in the Last Supper, the moment he makes the covenant, what does he do? Judas goes out to betray him. Jesus walks out to the Kidron Valley. He goes in the Garden of Gethsemane. He begins to pray. He prays for hours and hours and hours all night long. The soldiers arrive, they arrest him, and Jesus goes willingly to lay his life down to pay our debt because of that covenant that he made. Are you with me? But you see, a covenant has two sides. Say, a covenant is two-sided. And to enter into this covenant, we must give our life to him. When you accept Jesus into your life, you enter into a covenant with God through Jesus, who's the mediator, and you join your life with him. Is that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, if you give yourself to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. That's why Paul said, it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who now lives in me. I died. I became a new creation. When you receive Jesus in your life, you give your life to him, just like he gave his life for you. And you are joined together in a covenant. Now listen, the only way to be joined to Jesus is by entering a covenant with him, by giving your life and making Jesus the Lord of your life. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, say Lord. Everybody say Lord. Because that's the key. If you declare Jesus is your Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, what does the word Lord mean? Who can tell me? What does the word Lord mean? Master. Master. You know what the word Lord means? Because this is where a lot of people miss it. A lot of people think that they're saved, but they aren't. Because Jesus is not the Lord of their life. Now listen to me now. I love you enough to tell you the truth. The word Lord means master, it means owner, it means decision maker. So when I accept Jesus as my Lord, I am saying, Jesus, you are now my master, you are now my owner, and you are the decision maker. My life belongs to you. Now, you don't have to clap for that if you don't want to, but that is the truth. Here's the question. Have you actually done that? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? And you know the way you can tell? By your actions. That's how I can tell who, if Jesus is Lord of your life. By your actions. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me?" If you do not obey Jesus, he is not the Lord of your life. When he is the Lord of your life, you realize your life belongs to him. You are joined with him. You are in covenant with him. You lay your life down as he laid his life down, and you now live to please him and to do what he tells you to do. Amen? So that means, you see, a covenant's got two parts. We've got a part to play. You give up your life for him. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, listen what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Now, many people misunderstand what salvation really is. Many people think salvation is just like accepting a ticket from God to go to heaven. They think that all you have to do to be saved is simply believe. Just believe that Jesus died for your sin. He paid the price. He did it all. You don't have to do anything, honey. You just have to believe. Then you can live any way you want to live. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. But I see a lot of churches preaching that message. And they are really deceiving people. Because listen what James wrote in James 2 verse 17. He said, "Faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, it is destitute of power, inoperative, and dead." But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works, actions of obedience. Now you show me your alleged faith apart from any works, and I will show you by my actions of obedience, I will show you my faith." You believe that God is one, you do well, so do the demons believe and tremble. You see, even the devil believes. You do not get saved just by believing. You can go to church every Sunday and you can believe that Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead and yet not be saved. According to this, because there has to be actions of obedience. If Jesus is Lord, he said, "Why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me?" When Jesus is Lord, you are obeying him. You are following him. He's the owner. I'm not in charge of my life. He's in charge of my life. I don't come to church when I feel like it. Well, I don't know if I really feel like it. Jesus is not Lord of your life. You are in charge of your life. Because if you do what you want to do and you pray when you want to pray and you go to church when you feel like going to church, then you're in charge, honey. But when Jesus is in charge, it's, "Lord, I do what you want me to do." Amen, somebody. Verse 20 of James chapter 2 says, "Are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith apart from works, actions of obedience, is inactive, ineffective, and worthless?" Now, I understand you are not saved by your own good works. I understand that. There's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. I get that. Jesus paid the price that we could never pay. However, to receive that, the condition is you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Say amen, somebody. Salvation requires more than just simply believing. It requires making Jesus your Lord and obeying Him. Now, we have a covenant of blessing. We have a covenant of prosperity. And God will keep His part of the covenant. But we have a part that we have to keep as well. A covenant has conditions. And we've got to fulfill our part of the covenant. We cannot prosper with God's help and God's blessing without keeping our side of the covenant and obeying what God tells us to do. And let me tell you, anyone who tells you otherwise is lying to you. Anyone who tells you, doesn't matter what you do, man, you just got to believe. It's all grace. God paid the price. He'll bless you. He'll save you. He'll prosper you. Doesn't matter what you do. They are lying to you. Because God, there's nothing you can do to change the way God loves you no matter what you do. But let me tell you right now, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God doesn't reward everybody. There are things that you have to do if you want to see blessing and rewards in your life. And that's the truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse number 9, it says, "Understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes His unfailing love on those who love Him and obey His commands." Who does God lavish His love and blessing on? On those who obey His command. But He does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject Him. Therefore, you must obey all these commands, decrees and regulations I'm giving you today, if you listen to these regulations and faithfully keep them, the Lord your God will keep His covenant of unfailing love with you, just as He promised with an oath to your ancestors. So the Bible says that God will keep His part of the covenant if we will obey Him. Is that what it says? Verse 13, He will love you and He will bless you and He will give you many children. He will give fertility to your land, your animals. When you arrive in the land which He swore to give your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain and new wine and olive oil and great herds of cattle and sheep and goats, and you will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. Now, the truth is, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you beyond what you can even imagine. But you have to obey Him if you want to see and walk in these blessings and see God prosper you. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 9, it says, "Therefore," listen to this, "therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do." You want to prosper in everything you do? You've got to obey the terms of the covenant. Is that in the Bible? If you want to experience the blessings of this covenant of prosperity, then you must do your part. And you must obey God's commands and what God tells you to do. In Isaiah 1 verse 19, it says, if is a condition. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The Living Bible says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich. Job 36 verse 11, if they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their days will be pleasant. How many of you would like to be blessed with prosperity throughout your life? One, two, three. Some people don't want to be blessed. Well, then this isn't for you. You want to struggle, that's fine. I'm talking to people who want to be blessed here now. If you want to have prosperity throughout your life, you must be willing to obey the Lord. I'm telling you now. I know some people got this idea, the New Testament, no, we don't have to obey God. Where did they get that from? They didn't get it from, that's a doctrine of demons. That's not in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, now it shall come to pass if, say if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Listen, when you obey the voice of the Lord, blessings come chasing after you. You don't have to chase after them. They start overtaking you when you obey him. If you want to experience the blessings of our covenant of prosperity, then we must do our part. We must obey him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, David, Solomon, they all obeyed God. They all followed his instructions. They all obeyed his commandments. And one of the things God has commanded us is to tithe. They were all tithers. In Hebrews 7 verse 5, the Bible says, those who are the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So because of our covenant with God, the tithe belongs to him. God says, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to prosper you, but the first tenth belongs to me because of covenant. Leviticus 27 verse 30, all the tithe, say all the tithe, not some of the tithe, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. The word holy means set apart. So out of every dollar that I receive, the first dime is God's. It belongs to him because of covenant. Now when I return that tithe to God, I am activating the covenant of prosperity. But if I withhold that tithe, now I'm cutting myself off from the blessings of that covenant because I'm not doing my side of it. Tithing is based upon covenant. A covenant is a binding and solemn agreement between two people to fulfill certain promises. In a covenant, there are responsibilities for both sides to fulfill. If one party refuses to fulfill their part of the covenant, then by breaking the covenant, they sever themselves from the blessings and protections that that covenant provides. All of the people that God blessed with prosperity because of the covenant, all of them were obedient to tithe to the Lord. Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, isn't tithing under the Old Testament law? And now we live under grace, so we don't have to tithe today. No, that is not true, because Abraham, he tithed 430 years before the law came with Moses. There was no law. Abraham didn't tithe because of a law. Abraham tithed because of divine principle that has always existed from the book of Genesis. When Abraham's nephew Lot was living in Sodom, he was captured by four kings who made war with Sodom and Gomorrah. This is before, of course, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham, he rounded up his 318 servants. How'd you like to have 318 servants? He armed them and he went to rescue his nephew Lot. And he brought Lot back and all of the goods that had been taken from the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah. And when Abraham returned, the king of Sodom met him, and Melchizedek, who the Bible calls the king of Salem, and the priest of God Most High, he also met Abraham. And it says in Genesis 14, verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Now, how many of you know when Jesus made the covenant, when he said, a new covenant I give you, what did they do? They had bread and wine. When we have our Holy Communion, what do? We eat bread and wine. What is bread and wine? It's a covenant meal. So here, Melchizedek, they eat bread and wine. This is the covenant. That's what it's all about. And in verse 19, it says, and Melchizedek, he blessed him, and he said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. So Abraham presents a tenth of all of the stolen things that he recovered. He brings a tenth, and he gives it to Melchizedek, who is a priest of God Most High and king of Salem. Now, many people, including me, I believe that Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate Jesus. I believe that it was Christ who appeared to Abraham. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the name Melchizedek literally means righteousness. And the word Salem means peace. So Melchizedek was a king of righteousness and a king of peace. There's only one person I know who's the Prince of Peace. And his name is Jesus. So I believe that this is Jesus. And you don't have to believe that. I know some preachers who don't. But I'm going to show you why I do. You see, Melchizedek is mentioned three places in the Bible. Here in Genesis 14, then again in Psalm 110, and then again in Hebrews in the New Testament. So let me read the second reference to Melchizedek in Psalm 110. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Now, how many of you have you ever heard that before? This is prophetic. It's the Father talking to Jesus. Are you with me? It says, the Lord will extend your powerful kingdom from Jerusalem. You will rule over all your enemies. When you go to war, your people will serve you willingly. You are all arrayed in holy garments, and your strength will be renewed each day in the morning dew. The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It's the second time Melchizedek's mentioned in the scripture. And it's connected with the Lord saying to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That's why I believe that Melchizedek was Jesus who appeared incarnate to Abraham, and Abraham gave a tithe to him. Now, the third reference is in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. It says, this Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. And when Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and king of Salem means king of peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Now, what human being doesn't have a father, a mother, a beginning, or an ending? Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. It says, verse 5, now the law of Moses required that the priests who are descendants of Levi must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected tithe from Abraham, and Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. So he already had the promises from God, but now as he brings the tithe, Melchizedek puts a blessing on him. And that blessing is what caused him to prosper. Without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. The priests who collect tithes are men who die, so Melchizedek is greater than they are because we are told that he lives on. In addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. So I really believe this is Jesus. Jesus is our high priest, and we bring our tithe to him. And in return, he puts his blessing on us. Jacob also tithed. Jacob, in Genesis 28, it says Jacob made a vow. And he said, if God will be with me and if God will keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and give me clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And he said, and the stone which I've set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Now, Jacob made that vow before he went to work for Laban. He made a vow, Lord, I'll give you a tenth of all you give me. And we know that Jacob ended up becoming an exceedingly prosperous man. You see, tithing is essential if you want God to prosper you. Tithing is honoring God. It's remembering God. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. The Passion Bible says, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings. Can I tell you, our God is a God of overflow. He wants you to be overflowing where you have more than enough. He's a God who's more than enough. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may fulfill his covenant which he swore to your fathers. Then it shall be, if by any means you forget the Lord and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you will surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. One way that you remember, honor, acknowledge that it is God who prospers you and gives you power to get wealth is by paying your tithe to God. Tithing shows that God is first in your life and that your trust is in him. Deuteronomy 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. Tithing demonstrates God is first in my life. When we obey God by tithing, we activate our covenant and we keep open the windows of heaven above us. It keeps us in the flow of God's blessing, where God can pour blessing upon us. In Malachi 3 verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. The Message Bible says, bring your full tithe to the temple treasury so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me now in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Can I tell you, God has blessings for you that are beyond your wildest dreams. The Living Bible says, try it. Let me prove it to you. The only place in the entire Bible where God says, test me. is the only place he says try it is tithing. Watch and see what I will do. He says bring the full tithe into the treasury. What's the full tithe? The full tithe is 10%. It's not 9%. It's not 5%. It's not 3%. The full tithe is 10% of my gross income. And the tithe belongs to God, and it has been designated for the purpose of supplying provision for God's house. This is the way God set it up. It takes money to operate God's house. It takes money to have a church. A lot of people don't realize this. They think everything's free. Everything's free. This building's free. The electricity's free. The screen was free. All these chairs are free. How many of you know nothing's free? Verse 11, God said of Malachi 3, not only will he open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing, but he also says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed. The Message Bible says, I will defend you against marauders. The New Living Bible says, I will guard your crops. You see, when you tithe, you activate the covenant. God opens the windows of heaven. God pours out blessing, and it brings divine protection. God protects and guards you. That's what he said, rebukes the devourer, because he's your covenant partner. And very often, people that refuse to tithe, they end up losing much more than the 10% that they should have paid to God, because they open the door to the enemy. And the enemy comes to rob them, steal their health, steal a job opportunity. They miss promotion. They miss financial miracles, made decisions that cost them. If they would have tithed, God would have protected them, kept them healthy, prospered them, and improved their financial standing if they would have obeyed God. Sometimes I've had people tell me, Pastor Steve, I can't afford to tithe. And I always tell them, you can't afford not to. You can't afford to cut yourself off from the blessings of God and your covenant of prosperity for the sake of a dime. If we don't tithe, what we're saying is that we've got more faith in what our money can do for us than what we do, than what God can do. I can't tithe because this money can do more for me. God can't do as much as this 10% can do. Jesus himself told us to tithe. Jesus himself in Matthew 23:23, he said, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites, you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, faith. Yes, you should tithe. Jesus said, yes, you should tithe, but do not neglect that more important thing. Now, some people say, well, Pastor Steve, that was just for Jewish people. Jesus was only talking to Jewish people. They were under the old covenant. It's always amazing to me, this is the only thing Jesus ever said that only applied to the Jewish people. There's not one other thing that Jesus said that applied to the Jewish people, only this one. That's not true. See, you've got a covenant with God, and it's a covenant of blessing, and it's a covenant of prosperity. Imagine the most wealthy person in the world. Who's the wealthiest person in the world? The truth is you don't know. You think you know. The wealthiest person in the world, they don't publish it. You think the wealthiest person in the world is Elon Musk? He's not the wealthiest person in the world. The wealthiest person in the world, you don't even know their name. There are people in this world that pull the strings that are trillionaires. Not billionaires, trillionaires. You don't know who they are. But let's just take Elon Musk as an example. He's worth, what, $150 billion? Imagine Elon Musk came to you and said, I want to make a covenant with you. I want to make a covenant with you. I'd be like, absolutely. Let's do it right now. Well, right now. How'd you like to be in covenant with Elon Musk? Anytime you needed something, you just pick up the phone. Elon, I need $1 million right now. Will you have a covenant with God who owns it all, who created their whole world belongs to him, and you've got a covenant with him. And he's unlimited. Elon Musk is limited. God is unlimited. But there's two sides to a covenant. God will always be faithful to keep his side. But we must be faithful to keep our side. See, whether or not you prosper, can I tell you the truth? It's not up to God. It's your choice. It's your choice. Because you've got to choose, will you obey him? Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, I think it's my final scripture. It says, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. How many of you choose life and blessing? Wave at me. How many of you choose death and curses? Let me see where you're at. Anyone out there? Well, the Bible says, God says, I've given you a choice. You can have blessing, you can have life, or you can have death, and you can have curses. Up to you. The way you choose is by obeying what I tell you to do. Then you're choosing life. You're choosing blessing. I hope that every one of you watching me today, I hope that you will choose blessing. I hope that you will choose life because it's your choice. Anyone ever heard of John D. Rockefeller? John D. Rockefeller was the wealthiest American of all time. He is the richest person in modern history. He was worth $1 billion in 1913. That's over 100 years ago. When he was worth $1 billion in 1913, his wealth was 3% of the national GDP, gross domestic product. Does anyone know what the GDP is? Does anyone know what the gross GDP is? It's like $20 trillion a year, right? Does anyone know? You don't even know. Go look it up. So if you took 3% of today's GDP, it would be worth $700 billion. So you could say that $1 billion in 1913 is worth $700 billion today. And you know what? John D. Rockefeller was a tither. I want to read you a quote that he said. He said, yes, I tithe. And I'd like to tell you how it all came about. I had to begin work as a small boy to help support my mother. My first wages amounted to $1.50 per week. The first week after I went to work, I took the $1.50 home to my mother. And she held the money in her lap and explained to me that she would be happy if I would give a tenth of it to the Lord. I did. And from that week until this day, I have tithed every dollar that God entrusted to me. And I want to say, if I had not tithed the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed the first $1 million I made. Tell your readers to train their children to tithe, and they will grow up to be faithful stewards of the Lord. It has seemed as if I was favored, and I got increase because the Lord knew I was going to turn around and give it back to him. Come on, can everybody give a little clap to that? Little bit of a clap to that? In other words, tithing is a partnership between the giver and God. The giver partners with God in helping the world, and God partners with the giver in their business affairs. In 1912, I'm almost done, John D. Rockefeller had the opportunity to insure the Titanic. His company was bidding on insuring the Titanic, and it would have made him the richest man who ever lived, like Solomon kind of wealth. I mean, it would have made him even way wealthier than he was. But when he prayed about it, the Holy Spirit told him no. No. If he'd gone ahead with the deal, the Titanic sunk. How many of you know the Titanic? The unsinkable Titanic sunk. If he had insured that Titanic, it would have ruined his entire business. That is called God's protection. That is called God's protection. I will guard you. I will protect you. Now, for me, I started tithing my first job. I was 17 years old. I didn't finish high school. I didn't go to college. I went and got a job at the bank. I was making $450 a month, and I started tithing. And let me tell you, things started happening. I worked at the bank for 14 months. Then I got another job selling furniture, and my salary went to $750. Then about 6 months, I was working at this furniture company called Lifestyle Kane. I was walking through the mall, and I saw a man setting up a furniture display in the middle of the mall. And the Lord, I felt the Lord tell me, go talk to that man. And in those days, I was very shy. I didn't just go up to strangers. Today, of course, that's different. But I was shy in those days, and it took a lot for me to just go over to someone and say, hi, you know, my name's Steve. And I complimented him. This is beautiful furniture, and we started talking. Turns out that he owned a chain of high-end furniture stores, he and his brothers, and one of their salesmen had just resigned, and he said, I'm looking for a new salesman. Would you be interested? I went in and interviewed. They offered me the job. My salary went to $1,200. Then within 6 months, it jumped to $2,000. Within 2 years, I went from $450 within 2 years to $2,000 a month. And that's in 1982, 1983. That's about 40 years ago. I can tell you right now, I have seen God's word work in my life. I have seen God provide for me. I have seen God prosper me. We've gone around the world. We've put our kids through private schools, put our kids through university, all of that. And I can tell you right now, I don't have like millions in the bank, but God has blessed me. We've never lacked for anything. We've lived an awesome life. And I'm telling you right now, it ain't over yet. I really believe the best is yet to come. Do you receive this today? Say this with me. Say, God wants to prosper me. Say, I got a better covenant with better promises. God, thank you. You're my covenant partner. And you promised to bless me. Say it. Say, you promised to prosper me. You promised to make me a blessing. When I obey your commands and I follow your voice, you delight in prospering me. You open the windows of heaven. The blessing of the Lord on my life is making me rich. God has given me the power to get wealth, to fulfill his covenant. Say, Jesus, redeem me from the curse of poverty. Say, Abraham's blessings belong to me. Say, God made him rich, and God's making me rich. Jesus became poor so that he could make me rich. Thank you, Lord, for supernaturally prospering me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me financial miracles. Thank you, Lord, for financial breakthroughs. Thank you for financial increase. Thank you for getting me out of debt supernaturally. And thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for prosperity, for increase, for supernatural miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you receive this today? And let me tell you, today's message is essential if you want to activate and walk in this covenant of prosperity. And I'm talking about a covenant where God does supernatural things that are beyond your wildest imagination when you partner with him. So if you are not tithing, I would encourage you to commit yourself. From today, I'm going to begin to tithe. I am going to return and give to God what belongs to Him, and I'm going to walk in this covenant of prosperity in my life. How many of you say that today? Amen. If you're watching this online, this is for you too. If you're not tithing, begin and watch. God said, test me, try me. Watch and see what will happen. I've never had one person that was a tither that told me, oh, Pastor Steve, I really regret tithing. Every time I talk to them, they tell me, Pastor Steve, I started tithing. This started happening. That started happening. That started happening. It's always people who aren't tithing who tell me the woe stories. But when you tithing, you see miracles happen. You see God's supernatural provision. Amen. Are you ready to give today? Because we're going to give and we're going to close the service today. Praise the Lord. There's different ways that you can give. I'm sure you all know our favorite way for you to give is Zelle. It's not even up there because there's absolutely no fees on Zelle or PayPal. But you can give by, Cash App is no fees. Cash App, you can give by text giving, give online at ascendchurch.us. And if you're here in the service, there's a envelope in the seat back in front of you. Just go ahead, take out that envelope. We're going to honor the Lord today. We're going to give to Him. We're going to present our tithe before Jesus. And Jesus is our high priest. He puts His blessing upon us that causes us to prosper. Even this week, watch and see what I will do, says the Lord. Even this week, watch and see what I will do as you obey me. Are you all ready this morning? Because I'm waiting on you. Are you ready to give? I want you to hold that envelope in your hand right now. Father, I thank you for every tither, and I thank you for every giver. And Father, I thank you that we have a covenant of prosperity. And I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to keep your part of the covenant. I thank you for the windows of heaven that are open above us. I thank you for pouring blessing upon your people. Father, I thank you for bringing supernatural increase, financial breakthroughs. I thank you, Lord, that you are raising up millionaires, multimillionaires, and even billionaires in this church, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you want to bring the wealth of the sinner. It's stored up for the righteous. You want to bring it into the hands of the righteous. Father, I thank you for supernatural wealth transfer. I thank you, Father, for supernatural financial miracles and breakthroughs and promotion and increase. Father, thank you for pouring out blessing that we cannot even receive it and rebuking the devourer, divinely protecting us in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone said, did you pass the offering baskets already? Would you just go ahead and do that? Do you want me to come and tell us about?
I just want to send another invite out over about the ladies' brunch. I'm not kidding when I say space is limited. I think we've got space for like 17 more people. So, ladies, if you haven't signed up for our the brunch on May 13th, it's the Mother's Day weekend. It's 10 a.m. It's going to be right here. We'll provide you with an incredible, we've been planning, it's going to be wonderful. It'll be something really great to bring a lady with you. If you want to bring your mom, your sister, a friend, an enemy, a neighbor, bring somebody with you. It's going to be good. I'm going to speak for a few minutes. We're going to have some fun and games, some prizes and giveaways, and good food. And don't be jealous, men. So just sign up in the lobby. Thanks.
Stand up with me, everybody. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you came to church today? I said, are you glad you came to church today? Watch and see what the Lord does. Father, we just thank you for your goodness today. Well, I want to ask you, just bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment as we close today. I always want to give an opportunity. I always want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure all is right between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I know for sure that I would go to heaven. Well, let me tell you, you can know that for sure. You can know that for certain. You can walk out of here right now knowing that all is well, all is right between you and God, knowing that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away, and you can know for certain that heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come and stand at the front, but right where you are, while we have our head bowed and our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that all is right between me and the Lord. Pray for me. If that is you, quickly, just lift up your hand if you would. Just raise it up high, because I'm looking for your hand. And if your hand is raised up, then you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. God bless you. All righty. Praise the Lord. Turn to someone and tell them, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them, I'll be here next Sunday, doesn't matter what the weather is. I'll be here next Sunday, doesn't matter if sun's shining, we'll be here. God bless. Have a great week. We'll see you in Connect Groups this week, everybody. Take a look at the book and tape product counter in the lobby, and we'll see you next Sunday.